I'm Lates Camera Jackson. Welcome to a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're doing well. The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse, brand new series. It premieres with two episodes this Wednesday, November 18th on Disney Plus. That's a special day. It's Mickey's birthday. And joining me now is executive producer Paul Rudish. Paul, thanks for being on the show.
Sure. Hi.
Hi, good to have you here. I want to go back to the beginning a little bit to start things off. What is your first memory of Mickey Mouse?
My first memory of Mickey Mouse is from just growing up and watching The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights. And that was, you know, next to Saturday morning cartoons, that was the Sunday night cartoons that we got in my early childhood that was definitely a staple in our household. So all the various Disney stuff we'd get to see, and very often we'd get a collection of Mickey Mouse cartoons, which was, you know, always fun.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought the Wonderful World of Disney brand back for these movies that have been shown recently on ABC. You've been a part of these Mickey Mouse shorts and episodes on Disney Channel and various Disney platforms over the last several years that have been so successful and won Annie Awards and many awards. What were your goals in transitioning from that show into this new Mickey series?
Well, I guess the goal was to still continue the fun and the sense of humor and the style of the shorts that we had previously done. But with this iteration, we're doing 7-minute cartoons as opposed to 3.5-minute as we had done in the previous series. And so having that extra elbow room, we're able to involve a larger cast of the characters, and we had more opportunities to use Mickey, Donald, Goofy as the, you know, the Three Stooges super triangle combo. And we got, you know, that's always a fun dynamic to play with, those three guys, you know, messing things up. So yeah, more opportunities to explore that. In the 3-minute cartoons, we often found it had to be so concise that we didn't really get to feature too many characters. And most of the time, Mickey ended up being his own antagonist, where he would have a situation that he would kind of stumble into and kind of become his own problem and then have to fix it. Whereas with this new series, we're able to actually use more antagonists and set up their wants and desires. Pete and Mortimer being featured in various episodes as, you know, an actual villain to the rest of the gang. And another thing we were kind of dipping into was kind of the subconscious thought of playing in the different lands of Disneyland. Like, here's an idea that could exist in Frontierland. Here's an idea that could exist in Fantasyland. And so there's a little bit more genre hopping in this latest iteration that we didn't do before.
Yeah, you go to a bunch of different places and you bring in so many characters, and there are some big surprises. I grew up with House of Mouse, so I love that certain characters from the Disney Vault, I always loved that on that show, and certain characters from the Disney Vault in this make some special appearances. Were there risks involved in bringing back some iconic characters, even for little bitty cameos?
Not really, actually. Once we started dipping our toe into the usage of cameo characters in the earlier seasons, it was just well received by the higher ups and the fans, and it's just fun for us to do. So no, it's really not that hard to do. Originally, we had to be very sensitive about how we treated the princesses. There were a couple jokes where maybe we couldn't throw a pie in Cinderella's face. So we're like, okay, well, we can tame that down to protect the preciousness of our princesses. But you know, we've still been able to use all kinds of characters and find ways to have fun with them.
It's interesting about the princesses, but yeah, in the episode that I had a chance to screen, Keep on Rollin', there's a moment where the gang goes to a certain ballroom from my all-time favorite movie. So do you and your team, do you go back to some of these Disney classics like that one and do the research and make sure visually that you've got the look down right?
Yeah, there's been instances where we've referenced a very specific scene of animation and, you know, talk to our animation directors and go, you know that one part in Snow White, there's that little funny run that she does. Can you guys, like, you know, make sure you kind of do that? Or in the episode you just mentioned, there's a character who transforms, and we definitely referenced her transformation from the film.
I'm glad you're able to do that with all of these. And another episode I watched is called Cheese Wranglers. It's a Western theme episode. How did you decide on cheese to be the cattle for Mickey, Donald, and Goofy?
Well, yeah, in Cheese Wranglers, we were wanting to do a Western flavored episode, and we were thinking about, you know, cattle drive, and, you know, maybe Pete is a cattle rustler. We were just kind of mulling over story ideas, and then our director, Eddie Trigueros, had just recently been to some cheese tastings, and he came in and was like, hey, what if instead of cattle, we do a herd of cheese wheels? And we're all like, that's stupid. Well, then that's exactly what we have to do. It's just, it was such a silly, out there idea. It's like, yep, let's do that.
But it works. It works within the wonderful world of Mickey Mouse. The show is premiering on Wednesday, November 18th. Paul Rudish, the EP, is with me right now on the LCJ Q&A podcast. You grew up just outside of Kansas City, which is also where Walt Disney spent a lot of his childhood. The fact that you're handling the next moves of Walt's precious character, I mean, is it a little surreal to you?
Honestly, it is, yeah. When I was a child, you know, Walt was a very inspirational figure. Learning about his story about, you know, being a little country boy from a small town in Missouri that had dreams of showing folks what he could do with his talent, and then he moved out to Los Angeles, to the big, big city, and made things happen. That was always, you know, an inspiring story for me. Coming from a similar place and having similar wants, to find myself shepherding Mickey Mouse, his original creation, is very surreal and an honor. As a Mickey Mouse fan, it's definitely quite an honor.
It is quite an honor. And your dad was Rich, was an illustrator and a director at Hallmark Cards. So I just went to Hallmark recently to take a look at the 2020 ornaments and to see what's there for the holidays. When you walk into a Hallmark store and you see all the Mickey-themed cards and all the ornaments, so many this year, including one for Jungle Cruise, what feelings do they give you?
It gives me a warm remembrance of home, being that you know, my dad worked for Hallmark for many years. As a youngster, he would take me to work with him like once a year. I'd go in for the day and just get to see how the processes worked and, you know, meet all the other artists that he worked with, and got to see that there's this functioning place where commercial art is made by groups of artists. And so that was, of course, inspiring and gave me the confidence that this was something that I could do when I grew up. And so, you know, anytime I see anything Hallmark, it brings me back to being back at Hallmark and meeting all the great people that met back then, and all my dad's friends that were artists. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That relationship between Disney and Hallmark has been going on for years, and I think will continue for a long time. So many kids love looking at the new ornaments. So many generations of fans, really. Mickey just keeps getting new generations of fans. He's such a timeless character. What has surprised you the most over these years working on these Mickey shows? What surprised you the most about animating him and creating stories around him?
Honestly, the freedom that we were given when we first launched these cartoons. When I first, you know, was developing them, there always seemed to be a very precious energy around Mickey and what can you do and what can't you do. I really loved, you know, the cartoons from the 30s and, you know, all the rubber hose stuff and all the surreal insanity of those early cartoons. And I really wanted to take a page from that playbook and then play with Mickey in that space back when he was, you know, a little bit more of a rascal and, you know, had a full set of emotions. And I just kind of went ahead and gave it a shot, and I was surprised how little pushback I got. Everyone at the company seemed very accepting of it. And then as we went forward, we continued to try to push our jokes and maybe push the boundaries a little bit. And it was always well received. Yeah. So I was expecting a little bit more safety and a little bit more restraint from the company in general, but it turned out not to be true. And we've been able to to just keep pushing and make stuff sillier.
It's good that you have that freedom and you're going to keep on going. We've got 10 episodes for season one that are going to come out in November and December. And another 10 episodes are planned to air in 2021. Are you currently in production on those?
Yes. Yeah, we are delivering our last half of the episodes.
Cool. Cool. We'll all be looking forward to those. And you know, in just 8 years' time, Paul, Mickey will turn 100 years old. And I'm sure that it is going to be a huge celebration. There'll be marketing campaigns and TV events and maybe in-person events galore. If you had the opportunity to work on some of Mickey's 100th year celebration and putting things together or episodes or whatever it may be, how would that feel to you, and do you already have something in mind you would want to do for his 100th?
Not specifically. We're still working on what's on our plate right now. I honestly haven't thought too hard about the future, just trying to keep up with what we're doing with him today. But, that 100th anniversary is right around the corner, and yeah, it'd certainly be fun to do something big or something special, something shiny. Who knows, as we get closer, maybe there's an opportunity for some sort of Mickey Jamboree.
Well, yeah, I think Mickey deserves it, and I think you deserve to be a part of it. Paul Rudish, the EP of The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse, 2-episode premiere Wednesday, November 18th, this Wednesday on Disney Plus, and then 2 more new episodes are going to air each Friday from November 27th through December 18th. Paul, thank you so much for talking all things Mickey Mouse with me today here on the LCJ Q&A.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com and lcj.podbean.com. See you next time.